seen.
It is the fairy tale. He will kick the goal and win the game for Fremantle.
You mentioned at the start, Ken, that the Fremantle supporters wanted to see the wizard.
Yeah.
They've seen him a couple of times tonight. Farmer from reverse angle to win the game. He's stuck it in!
Welcome to a special episode of Talking Freo. Great goal there by Jeff the Wizard Farmer after the siren to win it against Melbourne. Today we have a special guest, club president Dale Alcock, in where we will be interviewing him and asking him some questions about Fremantle.
So welcome to Talking Freo, Dale. Thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you guys.
So let's get straight to some questions. So, Dale, why do you want to become president of the club?
Well, actually, it wasn't something that I was thinking about. I've been on the board of Fremantle since 2011, and I was asked by the then president, Steve Harris, to go on the board. And I thought, well, yeah, that's kind of interesting because, you know, there's 18 AFL clubs around the country, and to be on the board of one I thought was quite exciting. And I see, you know, they're a really vital part of our community, and football's got such a strong following in Australia and particularly in Western Australia. So, yeah, I came on the board of Fremantle in 2011, and one of my key roles pretty well immediately was chairing the ETAF committee, which is the Elite Training and Admin Facility, which is all about moving Fremantle down to Coburn.
Okay, so did you have a background in football when you were growing up? Or?
No, my footy's pretty average, so I don't think I'm the president of Fremantle because of my football playing prowess. I sort of played juniors. I'm from Kellerberrin up in the Central Wheatbelt, and I played juniors up there. But I probably played more hockey up there than football, right. So it's kind of funny. I do say to people, I'm not there for my footy prowess.
So did you support Fremantle going in? Or?
Yeah. Look, originally when West Coast originally started in the AFL, that was the only team in WA, Jan and I both supported West Coast initially. We were members. But then when Fremantle started up, we've always lived pretty close to Fremantle, spent a lot of time in Fremantle. So it just felt pretty natural to us to jump on board with Freo.
All right. So where do you see Fremantle in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, look, we've had a lot of change, and clearly with the changes through 2019, making a decision to move on our senior coach and our CEO, you know, they're really major moves for a football club. And, you know, the thing about where we're at now, we've got clear runway in front of us and a clear landscape in which to build the club. And it's really critical. It's such an elite and competitive environment that we've got to have the best people, got to have the best culture, and you know, sort of thereabouts is not good enough. We've really got to be driven to succeed, and so for the future of Fremantle, I see continued growth with the main aim to win a premiership. Okay. Clearly.
So with the change, you obviously got a new coach in Justin Longmore. So how is he fitting in at Fremantle?
Yeah, look, Justin's hit the ground running from when he came on board before Christmas. One of the key things for Justin was getting around all of the players at Fremantle and the staff. And, you know, I suppose by actually having a new senior coach and a new CEO in pretty quick succession, both Justin Longmuir and Simon Garlick, our new CEO, they're really great people, and they've spent a lot of time getting to know the players, getting to know the staff, and pretty well immediately within, you know, weeks of them both being on board, there's a real lift in the vibe in the place, which is fantastic. And, you know, footy clubs, yeah, it's all about on-field performance, but the off-field performance and culture's got to be right as well. So I'm really pleased with how that's going. And, you know, Justin's going to be terrific. He really wants our players to understand and, you know, be able to sort of think about them being the best player they can be, both on and off field, and how can he and the football staff at Fremantle and the club go about supporting the players, you know, to be the best that they can be. So it's that self-determination, what do you want out of your AFL career, and how can we, you know, make that happen for you and support you.
Okay, just on Simon Garlick, do you think he's bringing any noticeable changes to the club so far?
Yeah, look, again, a real people person. One of the great things about Simon is that, you know, he's played both for Western Bulldogs and Sydney, so he's been an AFL player. He's been a CEO at Western Bulldogs. He's been a board member at Western Bulldogs, and he's also been out in private enterprise as well with Bastion Consulting. So he's really a football CEO. He understands AFL and what it takes to succeed at that highest level. But also the other grounding that he's had outside of football, he understands the sort of corporate environment and, you know, the support we need from sponsors and supporters there. And also, most importantly, that we've got to attract more members at Fremantle. And clearly that's a link between better consistent on-field performance, doing it right off-field, and really increasing that followership. And, you know, we think there's a really a great latent supporter base at Fremantle that as we show more on-field, we're going to grow that membership.
Okay. So when selecting the coach, why did Justin stand out?
Yeah, look, I think if you look at Justin, clearly he was a past player at Fremantle, and that's a bonus. That's not why he was selected. But the last 10 years, his journey from immediately following his footy career at Fremantle, it was cut short early at the age of 26 with an ongoing knee injury that he had, a knee issue. And so he then got into the recruiting at Fremantle. He was an assistant coach there, went across to West Coast, and then his time over at Collingwood. All of that's been grooming him for what he needs, you know, in terms of taking him forward as a senior coach. So when we spoke to Justin, we were really impressed with the body of work that he'd done leading up to that, but he was really able to demonstrate to us what he saw as crucial at Fremantle and what we needed to develop up and how he was going to approach that. And his whole understanding of that and that whole ethos of, you know, our players determining where they want to be in their footy career and us facilitating that happening. And that was a kind of key to it as well. So, yeah, we reckon we've made a really great choice there. Really excited.
So what core values do you think AFL clubs should have, and do you think Fremantle are following them?
Yeah, look, I certainly think a club, a footy club, is like any other sporting club. It's like a tribe. You know, you've got to create this sort of tribe mentality and followership. And the issue about having common values and shared values, it really starts with, you know, in my opinion, a place that is diverse, and it encompasses and encourages and welcomes a diverse group of people. And you're all on that sort of shared journey. You share the ups and the downs. It's not just a linear pathway from, you know, continuing to play better and every week's better than the last one. As we know, you know, that performance goes up and down. But you've got to have your eye on something more than just, you know, that on-field performance. And I think Fremantle's a great club from that point of view. If we look at the 26-year history of Fremantle, we still don't have that ultimate prize of a premiership, you know, on the shelf. But there's a support, there's an entrenched followership of Fremantle. And I think it's about integrity, about respect, about inclusion, about all of those things. But also, we've got to have a vision, which we do have, to be the best AFL club both on and off field. And we also have defined our purpose, which is to engage, entertain and win. And so we think those things, both a strong vision and a strong purpose for the club, are really important because it keeps us as both directors of the club, our executive and management and staff, all focused on driving the club forward to achieve those outcomes.
Well, obviously being like a relatively young club in terms of the AFL, do you think that obviously us not winning a premiership as yet is driving the players to try and be the first team to win one and ultimately improving the team morale?
Yeah, look, that's a real key. And I think for the group that's there at the moment, that's something that they've really sort of locked down on, is to say, hey, we could be the first. And there's no reason they can't be the first. And so that's where we're driving towards. But I think you shouldn't have, just as a club, that single focus of winning a premiership. For us, it should be about sustained finals appearances because, you know, this last period, let's say if we go back over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, we don't want to be back in a situation where we're having to kind of rebuild. You know, we should be improving. We should be bringing new people into the club and keep that whole renewal thing as being a fluid process within the club, and not getting down, you know, sort of too low on the ladder and then having to spend years coming back up. So that's something we're really looking to learn from our past mistakes, improve, be much better at all things list management and training and skill development and so forth. And we want to create Fremantle as an attractive club to be. We want to see it as having a real attraction to be at Fremantle, that people both from Western Australia want to play at Fremantle, those that are over east coming back to play at Fremantle, but also attracting talent out of Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, etc.
So do you believe since appointing Justin as head coach, there has been a shift in the club's culture?
Yeah, look, and I don't just put it down to Justin, but as I've said before, I think it's that combination of a new senior coach in Justin, a new CEO in Simon Garlick, a determination from the board as well, the directors, to want to really change it, and really the executive and management and staff of Fremantle getting behind that push, and most importantly, our AFLW and our men's team getting right behind it as well. So we're all on the same track. There's a real good buzz around the place, and we could sort of see it in that first Marsh series hit out there last weekend, where the players were up and about, and you could already see Justin Longmuir's influence in what he's been, prepping and training our players, and they were playing, really well, and you could sort of see that coming through.
Yeah, you could see a real change in the game style, couldn't you?
Yeah, they were playing naturally. They weren't overthinking it. They were playing quite instinctively, and that's something that Justin's tried to instill in the players, is just really don't second guess it. Like play more on instinct and enjoy your football.
Some people believe we should have stayed in Fremantle. Do you think it was the right move to move to Coburg?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really controversial one. I do sort of jokingly say sometimes that, I was brought on at Fremantle on the board in 2011, and my job was to take Fremantle out of Fremantle because I chaired the committee that built the facility down at Coburg. But look, the reality was for us to achieve what we've done down there at Coburg, we couldn't have achieved that at Fremantle, because Coburg's a greenfield site and it's a shared facility with the city of Coburg, a regional sporting facility. And what the Fremantle Football Club's been able to do there is leverage what our investment is in that facility with that regional sporting facility owned by the city of Coburg for their part. And things like the aquatic facility, aquatic recovery, the hard courts, just two examples there. They're areas that we don't own, but we get exclusive use over those when we require, but we didn't have to pay for them and we don't have to maintain them. And that's a really cost-efficient way for us to operate. Also, too, I think it's pretty cool that in an area like Coburg that's developing up, that we're a major player, a major tenant in that location in a community facility. And I jokingly say that any kids that are born down in that Coburg region should have an anchor tattooed on their forehead. It should be a growth area for us. So if we look at Coburg, it's like our training and administration facility, but our heart is still in Freo. So we're playing our AFLW home games there. We're looking to, have what events we can from a Fremantle Footy Club where possible in Fremantle. We had our members function last year down at Fremantle Town Hall. And, when the players in the past have, say, been training at Cottesloe Beach and going back to Cottesloe Surf Club, we're saying, well, hang on, no. Let's do that down at Leighton or Port Beach and come back to Fremantle Oval for training and attract people in. So we're looking at all of those things as to how we can increase Freo in Freo. So we're really looking for the right opportunities, and we're going to continue to build on that, because when we win the ultimate prize, when we win a premiership, I'm sure we're going to have a ticker tape parade down the South Terrace in Fremantle. We might have one in Coburg as well, but I don't think the main event's going to be in Coburg. It's got to be in where our heart and soul is, and that's in Fremantle. So we may well have taken the admin and training facility out to Coburg, and we really, that's home for us from that point of view, but our heart and soul is Fremantle, and we've got to continue to demonstrate and grow that presence in Fremantle.
I think I'm going to speak on behalf of some of the fans, but what you've done in Coburg, making all the trainings open and accessible for the public, it's really good, as we can see, like, all the players and how they're going and developing as players. Do you think that's what you tried to incorporate there?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And, you know, I think the more open and engaged, and we'll continue as a club to look for opportunities for our membership and our supporters to get up close to the players, because I think that's really important. And so, yeah, Cockburn offers that amenity for our supporters, and it's great to see them down there, you know, training, whether it's the women's or the men's team or our Next Gen Academy.
Okay, so as the president of the club, what are some things you love the most about your job?
Well, look, I think it's such a unique situation. You know, one of the things that I don't think we can underestimate is in this day and age where sport is so international, whether it's soccer, you know, American baseball or American football, you know, there's this kind of internationalisation or Americanisation of sport. And yet right here today, Aussie Rules is shooting the lights out in Australia. It's our own Indigenous game, and it's on top of its game at the moment. So the one thing I love about it is, you know, Fremantle's one of 18 AFL clubs, and I get to steer one of those for a certain period of time and hopefully leave a really positive legacy on Fremantle. And so, you know, I also call it my second day job. You know, I run a large enterprise, the ABN Group, but Fremantle's kind of affectionately referred to as my second day job. So I put a lot of time and effort into it, but it's part of community, it's part of the West Australian landscape, and yeah, I feel really privileged and honoured to be able to steer Fremantle through this period. And hopefully I can then, as I come through this, and it's all about, you know, you're there for a short amount of time and it's what you leave behind, pass the baton on to the next president and hopefully sit back and say, hey, I was part of this club becoming very successful.
Why being the president of the club, what's your most memorable moment?
Well, it'd have to be, I think, our grand final appearance in 2013, and we've got to get back there real soon. And look, more recently, probably for reasons that are fairly obvious, one of the most memorable is last year in terms of those two decisions that played out and got announced on that day. And so, you know, it doesn't get much bigger than that when you're the president of the club and you've made those two big decisions and you're having to announce that publicly and talk about it. So, yeah, my sweetest moment, I think, would be that 2013 grand final appearance, but I think my most memorable will be D-Day or Decision Day and you know, airing that with our members and the public last year.
Those decisions are to remove Ross and Rossage from the club. Was that purely based on performance or was
there No, look, I think the time was right for the club and for those two people as well. You know, like from a club perspective, one of the things that I think is really important that both, you know, Ross was there for 8 years as senior coach and Steve Rossage for 11 years as our CEO, and both leave a fabulous foundation and legacy for us to build on within the club. So, you know, it's like everything. It's like me as president of the football club. You know, you're there for a certain amount of time, and then it's important that we get that rejuvenation and refreshing of the club, because, you know, clubs and businesses, you know, community, you know, it's all about refreshing and revitalisation.
Okay, so last question. Fremantle was a very fans first club, so why do you think that's important in the running of the club?
Yeah, look, I think it's got to be fans first, because, you know, a club is a tribe of people with a shared journey. You're on this shared journey and you share the ups and downs, and if the club fails to engage directly and understand what its members and supporters want, then ultimately it fails to ceases to exist, because you know, you need a critical mass of supporters and members, because let's face it, you know, financially it's got to be profitable to reinvest in the football club and the players and the on and off field side of things. So one of the things at Fremantle, we've just conducted our first membership forum, where we had 130 people apply to be part of our members advisory forum, and out of that there were 44 selected, and we just a couple of weeks back had our first forum, and it was really fantastic too. There was a survey done prior to the forum, so we got a lot of ideas and thoughts from those 44 participants, and then we had like about a 3-hour facilitated session, and there's a whole lot of other ideas, and out of those we're going to sort of work our way through all of those suggestions and then look at what we can implement coming out of that. So I think that's a really direct example of just how we're looking to go forward in direct engagement with our supporter base.
Okay, so for the forum, is that going to be a yearly initiative? Or?
Yeah, we'll basically have two of those formal forums each year, and we'll basically re-elect half of those advisory, so let's say 22 of the 44, will roll over every 12 months. So we'll have, you know, essentially someone would be on there for, say, a two-year period, but half will roll every 12 months, if that makes sense. Okay.
Thanks for listening to Talking Freo. That's all we got time for today.
Also, thanks again, Dan, for coming on the show today. It was great having you.
No worries at all. Thanks very much for having us, and go Freo.
Make sure to tune into Sunday's episode where we will review the game against West Coast in the Marsh series. Bailey Banfield also joins us for some questions that we have for him.